good singing all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 109. Psalms 109. If you find the place and you're able to stand, we'll read one verse to get kicked off here tonight. And we'll look at a few things out of this chapter in Psalm chapter number 109 and verse number 4. All right, the Bible says, for my love they are adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over those requests that we've already made. We pray that now you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Thank you for having heard and answered prayer already. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on giving to prayer. Now, there's one thing about them. We take a lot of prayer requests, and rightly so, and we'll continue to do so, because that we ought to be praying not only one for another, but for others and acquaintances that are round about us. When you look into this, you'll find that a fellow by the name Thomas Watson made a statement, and he said, it's one thing to pray, it's another thing to be given to prayer. In the passage that we've read tonight, for my love, their adversary, but I give myself unto prayer. Now, this is not just a now lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. Here's a man devoted. Here's a man given. Here's a man sees the reality. Here's a man sees the ability of God and the inability of himself. And I want to tell you something. Whenever the psalmist David says, I'm given to prayer, it was in the face of a lot of adversity. We'll not take time to read all of this and all of this chapter that's here. In fact, some of it deals, no doubt, in the futuristic sense, the Antichrist. I do know that some of it dealt with Judas Iscariot. Verse number 8, let his days be few, let another take his office, so forth and on. You can read where Simon Peter, on the day that he was speaking there, and Luke recorded it, that here's what he said, and he was talking about Judas, and that's the reference to it over from Acts chapter number 1, verse number 20. And he said, it said in the Psalms, and he read that about Judas. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that when we pray, and don't lose your text or the thought of it, but over in the book of Philippians, I do want you to turn there for a second. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4, and about verse number 6, we'll look at it in a second. You know, when we pray, we're making our requests known unto God. Now, whenever you're talking to the Lord and you're listening to preaching, God is making known His will through His Word unto you and I. But when we pray, we're letting God know the desire we have and what we're needing help with. In the book of Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, the Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Somebody said, well, what about that? Let me tell you, prayer's not just a buzzing of the lips. You'll find that it's an approach unto God. And let me tell you what it involves is that it involves the fact that you and I need to pray about everything. You see that? Everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mine through Christ Jesus. Now, let me say that when you look into that, is that we're talking about, pray about everything, but you ought to pray with thanksgiving and be thankful unto the Lord. Let me ask you this here. Do you find yourself, if you're not careful, always asking and never coming back to thank God for what He's answered already? Well, we're subject to that. And let me just say to you that it's easy to forget how good God's been in spite of how neglectful you and I have been. And we ought to pray about everything and do it with thanksgiving. And notice, if you will, he said that if you'll have thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I can tell you is that it involves supplication, begging God, moving humbly toward God, asking God, requesting of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that while he said, make your request known unto God. Look at that. You want to have the peace of God in your heart that'll pass all understanding. in verse number 7, well, then you'd better go ahead and exercise verse number 6. Now, in the book of Matthew, and I want you to watch there quickly, and you don't have to turn, or you can just write it down, or you can turn, either one, it doesn't matter. But here's we're looking at Matthew chapter number 6 and about verse number 8. It's important that you and I realize when we're making our requests known unto God that He already knows what we have need of. Did you realize to know that God, even before that we go to ask Him, notice in verse number 8 of Matthew chapter number 6, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Then if He knows it, why is He telling us to make your request known? I'll tell you why. He wants to hear from you and hear your voice and hear your humility, recognizing you need something from God. I can tell you, whenever you trust the Lord and pray to God, a lot of times we're asking God for something that we want done right now, if possible. But did you notice that, if you will, that the peace of God that He's going to give you and I, if you leave it in His hands, you can't find better hands to leave it in. And this Bible said that, if you will, you can rest on the promise of God. This Bible said, this man here, David said, "I'm going to be given to prayer." In the face of all the adversary, in the face of all the enemies, back over in our text that we're looking at, let me tell you, is that not only is he given in prayer, but prayer is a part of us. It's in our minds. It's in our heart. And let me tell you, we ought to be in communion with him, one with another, because that I'm his child and he's my heavenly Father. Back over in our text, notice, if you will, please, is that when you begin to look into it, is that here's what he said. In verse number 2, that crowd there, we didn't read that, but in verse number 2, he said, "Hold not thy peace, O God." He said, "For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me." Boy, you talk about in the face of adversity. You ever notice how troubles and trials and struggles and turmoil will drive you on your knees to God? Listen, he was dealing with the people that had a mouth full of wickedness, a mouth full of deceit, a mouth with a lying tongue in it. He was looking at people that had words of hatred that were without a cause. Here was a man that was facing persecution. Here's a man that knew how to pray. Here's a man dealing with people perishing. And buddy, they were blowing a lot of things out of proportion. But I'll tell you this, in verse number 30, he goes on and says, "After it's all said and done, I'll greatly praise the Lord with my mouth." Number 2 is, I want to say to you that he's talking about prayer is for believers. Now, I'm not going to pin you down, but while you turn to the book of Romans, and there's a passage over there we ought to look at in chapter 10. But let me say to you, I think all of us could improve a little on praying. And I'm not just talking about going through the motion. I'm not talking about the buzzing of the lips. I'm not talking about saying a few words, but that we've learned. I'm talking about praying and agonizing to God from the heart. Let me tell you something right now. We've all of us got kin folks that are going to go to hell if they die in the condition they're in. They need more than just a little, "Now lay me down to sleep" kind of praying. See? Notice, if you will, that prayer is for believers. Now, if you're a believer tonight, if you're a child of God, you're a praying person. Notice in Romans chapter 10, looking about verse 14, he said, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed?" You're not talking to God. You don't believe God. What's the matter? God said that if you're a believer, why, the heathen that have never heard the gospel don't call, because how shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And then how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And then how shall they hear without a preacher? I got to say to you that whenever God preaches the word of the Lord through one of his men, and the lessons taught and the word of the God begins to have full effect in your life, it'll cause you to become a believer. And let me tell you, it'll set you to praying and seeking the mind and the face of God. Now, not everybody and not every motion of prayer, like the Papist or the Papist, they like to pray to saints. They like to pray to angels. They like to pray to idolatry and idols and things of that nature. But let me tell you, that's not proper praying. They think by much speaking, by repetition, they'll be heard. They'll not be heard. God said that over in the book of Matthew. But here you'll find that only God can hear and only God can answer prayer. Now, I can tell you right now, you and I have that, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, if I could get saved for you, I would. I can't. Nobody else can for you either. It's a personal thing. And notice, if you will, in the book of Psalm, chapter number 22, the Bible says over there in Psalm chapter number 22, and it's in about verse number 8 and 9, is that if you're going to be able to bow before anybody, it better be the Lord. It better be that you bow your head, bow your heart unto the Lord God of glory and serve Him and Him only. He's the only one that can hear you. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can answer you in prayer. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 22, it's in verse number 8 and verse number 9. And here's what he says in that lesson there. Psalm chapter number 20, no, excuse me. I can't read my own writing. It's Revelation 22. I knew Psalm didn't look right. It didn't have not one note anywhere. And so I wanted to take a pen, start writing stuff down. But it's in Revelation 22, verse number 8, verse number 9. Now, notice that, if you will, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. And through the Apostle John, here's what he said. Behold, I'm going to come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of prophecy of this book. Now, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these sayings. Then saith he, talking about the angel, unto me, see thou do it not. I'm thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. The words, here's a man that before the angel of God and the angelic miracles that had been performed, he thought he ought to bow down before him. And the angel said, do it not. Worship God and God alone. He's the only one. I'm just a fellow servant. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into that, look over there in Revelation chapter number 14. Turn quickly there to Revelation chapter 14, a few pages or chapters back. And in chapter number 14, and also it's about verse number 7. Now, the Bible said that there's an angel that had been flying in the heavens and preaching the everlasting gospel. And in verse number 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea, and the fountains of waters. I guarantee you right now, there's not anybody can hear you praying except the Lord God of glory. There's not anyone can answer you except the Lord God of glory. Look in Revelation 19, about verse number 10. Revelation chapter number 19, it's about verse number 10. The Bible says, and I fell at His feet to worship Him, and He said unto me, see thou do it not. I'm thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you begin to read into those things, you'll find that only God can hear, only God can answer your prayer. I remember over there in Matthew, remember whenever the devil was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew in chapter number 4, about verse number 10 is where I'm headed to read that passage of scripture for you. Is that, you know, the devil would have loved for the Lord Jesus Christ to have bowed down to Him. But then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Let me say, people that have always had inventions of their own, thinking this is a good idea, or thinking that I'm just going to do it as a religious exercise, surely God will honor that somehow or another. No, He won't. In fact, there's only one way you can worship, and that is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, is that He's the only one that can hear you. He's the only one that can answer your prayer. Now, notice over in the book of Psalms, chapter 65. Psalm 65. I'll give you a moment to find that. In Psalm chapter number 65, is that when we talk about the Lord's only one that can hear you, is that God wants to give us a clear-cut scripture that we might be able to know. Do you realize to know that you've got to know who you are and who He is and all that before you can ever come to Him as an empty-handed beggar? If you don't ever know you're a sinner, and that's what's wrong with the average Baptist, they've never come to realize they were a sinner, lost, undone, without a hope, without God, and headed straight to a devil's hell. But if they keep hearing the gospel, God will make it known to them. But look in verses number 1 and 2 of Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, look at it. God's listening. God's looking. Unto thee shall all flesh come. I gotta say to you that the reason, and one of the reasons why, that when we're praying over there in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 18, you haven't got to turn there. But remember the fellow by the name of Elijah that challenged all the false prophets of Baal? Remember whenever they fixed up those sacrifices and the God that would answer by fire? Of course, the prophets of Baal got up there, jumped up and down, cut themselves with lancets and this and that, screamed and hollered, and oh, Elijah mocked them. But after it was all said and done, he repaired the altar of God, prayed about a 62 or 3 word prayer, and fire from heaven fell and licked up the sacrifice and the wood and all the water that was in the trench and so forth and so on. But whenever he was praying in 1 Kings 18, verse 37, he says something like, "And O Lord, hear me so they may know." Buddy, I'm going to tell you something right now. Prayer is something that ought to be a real confession. Prayer is in accordance to His will. Prayer is a matter of supplication. And not only that, but prayer is a matter of congratulations. God will hear and answer your prayer. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said over in the book of James, chapter 1, verse number 6, "Remember, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith." Listen, do you believe God? Sure we do. We didn't get as far as we've gotten in life since the day we got saved without believing what God has got to say about it. I got to tell you right now is that there's going to be times you're going to pray and you're going to feel like this has got to be useless. That's what the devil wants you to feel like. Now, let me tell you right now is that if you think you're never going to feel that way and you don't never want to feel that way, you better not ever pastor a Baptist church. God is the only one that can hear us when we pray. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Tonight, you may be thinking that you really and truly know what prayer is, but you will when one of these days you're standing at the bedside of your spouse or one of your kids or somebody that's dear to your heart. Ladies, you may think that you have prayed as earnestly as you know how. But I can tell you right now, dear friend, when you're standing by the bedside of a child, whether it be your child, a grandchild, somebody else's child, or your spouse, God will make you know, even though the chapter may not end like you think, but I can tell you, He don't have to tell us everything, and He doesn't. There's a lot of questions that I have when I get to heaven that I probably am not going to have then. I got some things that I'm going to try to remember. I'm afraid I don't want to have a piece of paper. I don't think God's going to rapture paper out with us. But there's a few things in my head and on my heart I'd like to ask Him personally. But by the time I get there, it's probably going to fade from view. You see what I'm talking about? Listen, whenever I pray, there's a lot of adversity that's out there. A lot of lying, a lot of cheating, a lot of conniving, a lot of false accusations. And the psalmist said, "I'm giving myself to prayer." Now, you know what that means? Tomorrow, whenever he wakes up, he's going to be praying about some serious matters. It's not going to be a matter of just rolling over and all that. Ugh. I think I'll I'll just be lazy and not get up. I'm going to tell you something. God will make you realize and recognize that He's sitting on the throne. And you and I are but dust and ashes before His presence. I'm glad I'm His, and I'm glad He's mine, and that I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. If you're not saved tonight, I don't know what you're waiting on. I really don't. You say, what do I do to be saved? Get up out of your seat and come forward and down at an old-fashioned altar and get things altered with God. That's how you do it. By just simply calling upon, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You hadn't got to do that in the course of a service. You can do it outside of service. Make it known in a service. I just said all that so you'd know. I'm glad to know that when God comes calling and God comes knocking upon your heart's door, that He'll do divine business with you. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank You for loving us. How we praise You and how we thank You that Thou art God and beside Thee there is none else. And move upon us and within us. Lord, go with us to our homes. Bring us back safely. Lord, when You come again, may we find You. May You find us busily occupied about Your business, that we be not ashamed at Thy appearance.